Missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
This is Point of View here on Kaya 959. I am Tshepiso Makwetla, standing in for Phemelo Modene. She's away today on the streets, on the air, and the streets are talking lots to come up this evening. And it's not even the streets, it's the officials telling us what is truly on the streets and what isn't. We had a press briefing by the Economic Freedom Fighters, the Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema, pretty much setting out the principles by which is governing them during these uncertain times of talks that are being held, some in secret, some in open. But he held no punches back when he was describing a government of national unity comprised of the Democratic Alliance, the IFP and the ANC, pretty much saying they are all at the behest of the money of the Oppenheimers who have bought them, saying that they are sticking to their principles, saying that the MK party should run KwaZulu-Natal, the NFP putting out their statement saying that actually they're not in agreement with the IFP. Premier candidate will be speaking to the founder, Ahmed Munzir Sheikh Imam, of who's a founding member of NFP, to find out what his thoughts are around these coalition talks and the position that the NFP has taken. Another concern comes from Bosa, and we'll be speaking to its leader, Musi Maimane, about the unity government agreements and some of the things that they have set out on what they believe is important. We'll go through that as well. And our final feature today, we'll be reflecting on Youth Day, Father's Day, the festival that's coming up, and we'll be speaking to the artist known as Samito, playing some of his music as well. So we're going to have a nice tale end off to the Thursday evening. This is Kaya 959, Point of View. Please reach out to us, share your thoughts with us on X. We're on at Kaya on air using that hashtag POV, Point of View, and you can reach us on the phones 086-00-00-959. A WhatsApp line for voice messages, send them to 0636-880-959. And if you're listening to us on DSTV, you'll find us on the audio channel 861. It would be interesting to hear from you, Kaya, what your thoughts are. A lot of things up in the air, but I am pretty sure that there's a lot of certainty. There's a, what do they call it, a rationale behind what we may perceive as madness, that there's a strategy behind a lot of what people, politicians are doing at this moment. So we'll hear from you and hear from our guests in just a moment. So NFP coalitions, what are the talks and at what stage are they? This is a question, where do they stand? This after the NFP put out a statement saying that it doesn't really support the IFP premier candidate in KwaZulu-Natal. And you'd recall that we spoke to the IFP leader, Velenkosini Hlabisa, yesterday on where their talks are provincially, and I did ask if they were speaking to the NFP. It did take some doing, but there was a vague yes that they're speaking to all parties. Well, let's speak now to Ahmed Munzir Sheikh Imam, who is NFP founding member and former MP. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Well, very good evening to you, all our listeners out there, and thank you for having me on the air this beautiful evening.
Your thoughts first on this government of national unity 2.0, as some are calling it. And I'm asking those who would have had the historical, you know, remembrance of where things went right and where things went wrong. Julius Malema referred to that earlier on, his point of view. What are your thoughts about this, a second round within the 30th year of our transitional government?
Well, first of all, you know, I think I'm very curious as to where the confusion comes. I'm not sure where this principle of government of national unity comes in there. Because if it was a government of national unity, do you have to be in agreement with what certain political parties want you to agree to, you know, for you to be able to secure some kind of positions or seats and things? If you look at it right now, those that are going to be benefiting, if you talk about the scenario right now, where we're talking about the ANC, the DA, the IFP, and perhaps the NFP, although you and I know there's conflicting stories coming from the NFP. We know that he met with former President Jacob Zuma and the MK party. We know he's met with the ANC. And, of course, you know, so there's conflicting information that's coming. Earlier in the media statement today, I think they said they're going with the ANC and the DA and IFP. Now, so what happens to all those other political parties that also secure seats? You talk about a government of national unity, unity uniting, bring everybody under one banner so that we can work collectively, you know, to be able to take the country forward. So my thoughts are very simple. This is not a government of national unity. It's being misinterpreted. This is another form of coalition government because those political parties have to come together to make up that majority for them to be able to govern. If they wanted really to have unity and bring the different role players, then what stops you from bringing parties like the UDM, the PA, the Action SA, and also give them portfolios so that you can govern together, which is what happened, if you remember, in 1994 after that. So clearly, this is not a government of national unity. It's just a coalition government. Of course, the ANC says that the people have spoken and the people want a united government. But you have that opportunity, and that's not the opportunity you're taking right now. You are very selective in wanting to work with a handful of people. That's the problem I have. So for me, we can't call this a government of national unity. We can call it a coalition government. And you and I know what has happened thus far to coalition governments in the country and where it's headed to. Mm-hmm. Now, if we also say that the people at national level have spoken and they've given a mandate for a government of national unity, then should not the same apply to KwaZulu-Natal, where the MK had 45, almost 46% of the votes? Can't be good for this. It's good enough for the goose, it must be good enough for the gander as well.
Mm. So you're saying the party with the most votes, if that is indeed the case, should be the one that leads the agenda, should be the one who holds the mantle to governance?
Certainly, because it means that that particular political party has got the majority of the support in that particular constituency. If you talk to KZN, it's the MK. If you talk at nationally, yes, the ANC at 40.8 or whatever it is there. That's the argument. So you've got to be consistent when you talk about this. It can't apply to national there because you got 40% and don't apply to KZN and the MK has got 45%.
So here's an interesting question for you in particular as a founding member. Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing to the fore this whole issue around the clear characteristics and the literal meaning of a government of national unity. I mean, Daryl Swanepoel of Inclusive Society Institute said a government of national unity is where parties retain their identities and where they'll retain their programs and they're able to offer or to be able to differ with government positions. Let's take KwaZulu-Natal as at the moment. The NFP, what is your thoughts on where it stands and where it should stand? Because it's put out a statement saying there have been misleading comments that have been made by people who have not even been involved in the elections. And we heard today that they are, you know, hedging their bets between MK Party, EFF and the GNU. So speak to me about that, the identity of the NFP in this context of GNU and where it ought to hedge its bets.
Well, first of all, let me say this. It's a slap in the face for the former leader, Zanele Kabagwaza Msibi, a very dedicated and committed leader that, you know, after all that she has been through and had to go from the NFP because of the way she was treated, of course, and which continues up to this very day with the interference from political parties like the IFP and the NFP, which has resulted in our NFP being where it is today. So that's a slap in the face for the NFP in the first place for Zanele Kamagwaza Msibi. That's the first point I want to make. But the question is, if the people in KwaZulu-Natal have given a mandate, in this case over 45% of the people to the MK, why is the NFP, and I do understand that the NFP has a crisis in terms of leadership, there's matters before the court, and in a few weeks' time, the court might just give in favor of the other faction, and which means everything that has happened thus far, including the list, including who's representing them, all that falls flat.
Do you subscribe to any of the factions?
No, absolutely not. Now, that is where I've had a problem in the NSP. I was not willing to belong to any faction. In 2019, the NSP was not going to contest the election. And it was my intervention, sole intervention, with the support of the president, okay, that brought these two factions together. And exactly what they're attempting to do now is what they did in 2019. The moment the elections are over, one particular person, Honorable Mlotshwa, who is now the mayor of Okeslamba, got that seat there. They tried to remove him. That's exactly what is happening now. There's an attempt to remove the member of the legislature, the only one seat that they've got in the legislature. Now, she's entitled to that seat. She was number one on that list. You should leave her there in the interest of the party and the people you serve. So it means that trouble is going again, and it's going to now go back to court. And it's going to continue while the other matters are still before the court. But on the issue of the things, I'm not sure why they should be conflicting. You should take. I led the negotiations in 2011 with the ANC and the IFP on behalf of the NSP when we had 19 hung municipalities. You know, we discussed to the IFP, we discussed it to the ANC, and we decided to work with the ANC, which we felt would be the best option that we've had. Now, I'm not sure why there should be a confusion. We need to decide. Is this about self-interest in what you're getting, or is it about interest of the people in KwaZulu-Natal that we should be taking into consideration? And let's ask ourselves and be honest about this. What has really changed about the lives of the people in KwaZulu-Natal all these years? And I'm not just talking about one party. I'm talking about everybody that's governed, even in coalition government. What has changed? So the question is, are we putting the interest of the people? Or is this all about, and I think I don't always agree with what Julius Malema said, but I think I must agree, is money at play with the money that has been put there? People are getting bought off to agree and do this and not do that. But how long is it going to last? We know the dynamics of politics in
Kwazulu. So are you suggesting that you agree with the sentiments that he expressed earlier on, particularly about the IFP being bought? He spoke about its leader, Velinkosini Tlabisa, speaking at about an amount of 20 million, I think, was it? Unless I misheard him. But he was saying that, you know, this money was put out there, and the IFP, he spoke about the IFP itself. And the NFP comes from the IFP. Is this something that's been present in the past?
As you know, suggested? You know, I can say this to you, that I have, since I've been the member of the NSP, I have been vocal, and you could have seen all my presentations in Parliament, whether it was the NSP, the IFP, the DA, or the ANC. When it comes to corruption, it's corruption. I've been very vocal and very consistent about it. First of all, let me tell you, this election has been rigged so badly. You will be shocked if I send you all the evidence just on myself, on the amount of evidence of voter rigging in all the different voting stations. Nobody wants to entertain it. 20-some-odd parties are going to court.
But you're entitled to lodge a complaint, no?
We've done everything, ma'am. We've done everything. We're going to court. We've given objections. Right now, 15, 20 minutes ago, I get another one from Western Cape showing me all the proof. But there is the proof. We took photos. We voted here for you. And that voting station is showing zero. The number of them, you'll be shocked all over the country, not only to my to the AM posting, but to all the different political parties. The evidence is there. We're providing it to the IEC. They're not interested. They're going ahead.
I don't want to seem like I'm shutting you down, but I also don't want us to lose focus. But I do want to, and there's a very pivotal question that I am interested in. Does that mean that the political party agents at those voting stations, districts, refuse to sign the final outcome?
Let me explain that. First of all, if you take political parties, the smaller and emerging political parties, they don't have the luxury of financial resources, you know, that the Oppenheimers and everybody has been dishing out to everybody else. So it's impossible for you to have party agents. If you look at the voting station, practically the entire day the systems were on and off. I'm not even talking about the 2-3 hour glitch that took place, okay? I'm talking about on the day of the elections alone. the number of times it was on and off. Look at the complaints that have come from the voting stations alone. You know, counting must take place with all the party agents. People have, party agents have complained they were not allowed. They said, now you can leave and go. Look at the problems that were taking place in at the auditing process as well. There are officials of the IEC that have come up and complained over and above everything that we as political parties. Are. Now, let me give you a good example from my own perspective. I'm not
very briefly.
Who voted. Sorry, the AM4C, right? Now, let me say this. Had these people not come to us to say, but hold on, how did you get zero votes in this voting station and that? Because we all voted for you there.
Okay.
I
want to move it along because we do have to move on to our next guest. And I want to still get from you the building of socioeconomic infrastructure, particularly to help deep rural areas and townships in a state of distress at this point with the weather conditions. For the NFP to not lose its focus on its principles and the promises that it's made to its members, what would be the best way forward for them now, from your point of view? And is this something that is finding resonance with the NFP leadership?
Well, there are two things. First of all, I think what should happen is this. If we want to talk about a government of national unity, in the interest of the country, bring all the relevant role players. Let's share out those portfolios. Give them to people that are fit for purpose, that can deliver the goods. And that is not what's happening. So it's going to create a lack of, it's going to create instability in terms of the so-called government of national unity, which I call a coalition. That's the first. If you look at, you know, the impact of the socio-economic conditions on the lives of the people. And yes, you are absolutely correct in what the point you just raised now is, does these political parties and the way they're going about it, do they have what it takes to really make a difference to that electorate and people? Now, many of these people have governed. They've governed for 30 years and they've not managed to succeed. Whether you talk about the Western Cape, whether you talk the KZN with the IFP or the ANC, they have not been able to succeed. And that is why it's important for them to bring in all the other role players and work together, not just for their own selfish reason, because a handful of them managed to get that 50% plus one, but bringing the other expertise and skills of all the other role players. Some of them have been there, you know, for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. They've also got the necessary skills and things like that. Bring them in and unite if you want. I am one of them for the last 2-3 years has been calling in Parliament there for a government of national unity. Not the sham that I'm seeing right now. You know, I'm saying if you want a government of national unity, bring all the role players who have the necessary skills, the integrity. Let me ask you a very simple question. This government of national unity, we know the allegation, the serious allegations against the president and things, which the DA made a big noise about. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do about it now? They're going to keep quiet because you're a government of national unity.
There's a question you did not answer, and I still want to come back to it. I want to take a quick break, and that was, you said you are agreeing with Julius Malema at this point. And we spoke about the allegations of the money being poured into the IFP. And I said the NFP ostensibly comes from the IFP. Is there a track record of people being bought off in the IFP, and therefore it would mean people who are in the NFP would have been aware about it? 22 minutes past 8, we're going to take a quick break. This is Point of View here on Kaya 959. Remember, you can call in, comment, perhaps even challenge some of what you're hearing now. 086-000-959. We continue with Point of View here on Kaya 959. I am Tsepiso Makwetla, stepping in for Phemelo Motene this evening in conversation with Ahmed Munzur Sheikh Imam, NFP founder, member and former member of parliament, talking about the coalition talks that are underway. And we've heard reports of the NFP being part of the conversation, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal for that provincial government of unity. And Ahmed Mansour, you were saying earlier on that you agree with Julius Malema about the allegations that he made of money being passed around to influence the political outcome in this country. And I was saying, Are you saying you agree that these monies were being passed around for quite a while in the IFP, as Julius Malema was suggesting, and by extension, given that the NFP was part of the IFP, that there is evidence of it, that you know about it? Because if you're talking about eliminating corruption in all spheres of government, that should certainly be an area of concern, should it not?
Let me start off by saying I think out of the 400 members of parliament, I have been very consistent. In fact, the only voice that has been calling for closing the gaps on corruption, starting at the local government level. The country loses an estimated 500 billion rand a year to not getting value for money, and it starts from local government taking to the other spheres of government. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you heard 3 weeks ago, 322 million rand written off just in the Zululand District Municipality. Right? Unlawful, wasteful expenditure, fruitless expenditure, irregular expenditure, 322 million. If you look at many of those municipalities and the report from the Auditor General that speaks volumes, not a single party, let me repeat, not a single party in Parliament were willing to support me. Let's close those gaps.
Okay. We are running out of time, so I'm going to ask you straight out.
Yeah.
Are you saying you know you have evidence of the IFP receiving money from the Oppenheimers? And was this something that happened when you were in the IFP, given the fact that the IFP comes from, the NFP comes from the IFP?
I can tell you this much. I've been very, very brief in the IFP. So, you know, there was not even an opportunity to establish that. But what I can tell you very clearly without any doubt, the interference of the IFP in why the NFP is where it is today speaks volumes of exactly what is going on.
So money changed hands, is that what you're saying?
Yes. What is not is in dispute is the amount of money that political parties have accepted and agreed that they've been funded by the Oppenheimers and everybody else. You know those that have even gone through to Israel and collected. We know these. They have not denied.
Yes, I mean, there's an obligation.
But my interest is not that. My interest is when you're taking taxpayers' money, which you should be using for the delivery of services, and using that to buy people off. That's where I have a serious problem.
And that's why I want to ask this, because who should be the men and the women and those who identify in whichever way they'd like to be participants in this partnership of political parties, who should be at the coalface of service delivery? Because it can't be more of the same. You spoke about hung municipalities. I think Salga's report pointed out, I think in 2021, that there was a significant number. I think it may even be a little bit more than a third of municipalities that collapsed.
Only 18 out of 257 gave you a clean audit. That's how bad it is. but let me tell you what is important. Those that are now going into this government of national unity that have been in parliament before have never attacked each other than attacking the ANC in any case with all those corruptions that exist. So how are they going to do that right now when now they're going to be one united organization? They had the opportunities when I was fighting for the corruption in KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape. They did not. They chose not to attack each other, but only attack the ruling party. Now they're going to be governing together, and corruption is rife wherever they all of them govern. What and how are they going to deal with that problem? Now, what is my concern is, if you look at those that are touted for positions of MECs and things, and look at their track record where they've been governing at local level in those municipalities and district municipalities, can you imagine how serious the issue of corruption is now going to come? So even if there was some service delivery in KwaZulu-Natal, you can now very comfortably say there'll be very little or nothing.
Are you adding your party, NFP, in those concerns that you're raising?
Let me remember, I'm not NFP anymore, remember? That
yes.
I left the NFP, yes. But yes, I can tell you without doubt. I mean, let me be very honest. Look at the so-called president of the NFP right now. There is serious charges of corruption and things at Nongoma Municipality. He's been charged. And what has happened? Suddenly the matter has been pushed under the carpet. So telling me this, they're going to address it? No, they're not going to address it in the interest of the people.
And of course, we will grant the NFP and anybody who deserves and wants a right of a reply. But thank you for your time and sharing with us your thoughts. Ahmed Munzur, Sheikh Imam, he is NFP founding member and a former MP for the party. It's 8:30.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.